Good afternoon and happy Father's Day. Thank you, Father. My name is Tom DeLacy. My wife Mary and I have been members of St. Thomas the Apostle since the beginning of the parish. Over the years, I've been awed by the faith witness talks on both Mother's Day and Father's Day by my fellow parishioners. Indeed, my mother gave the Mother's Day reflection one year. So when Lori Culberson asked me to speak today, my first thought was, what? No. My life is quite happy for me, but I don't feel I have any real insights into how to be an amazing father. But our St. Thomas community family is our family, and when something is asked of you, you say yes. So in reflecting on what I would speak to today, I thought the concept of saying yes as a father seemed like an appropriate topic after hearing today's readings. Role models give us examples of what we could or should be like, and I've had some amazing role models in my life. My earliest and best example of a male role model was my own father, Ron DeLacy. Many of you probably know him and can attest to the remarkable person he is. He and my mom, Jean, have been members of St. Thomas also from the beginning. And their story is the stuff that the American dream is made of. My oldest brother, Patrick, has always said that my brothers and sisters are standing on the shoulders of giants. I don't think I can agree any more. My grandfathers were self-made first-generation Chicagoans, one an orphan from South Carolina, and the other an immigrant from Ireland. Neither man had more than an eighth-grade education, but they had faith in themselves and faith in God. They each married the love of their lives, had families, and worked tirelessly to provide all that they could. God didn't bless them with large families. My mom had one brother, and my dad was an only child. Concepts like honesty, faithfulness, fidelity, determination, humility, and hard work were embraced, and they expected their children to embrace them as well. My parents each grew up in homes that fostered love and a sense of family. My parents met at a Catholic singles dance. They dated a couple of years on and off before realizing they'd found their perfect mate. They are quite simply the best matched couple I've ever met. After the wedding, my father reported to duty in the Army, and almost immediately they had my oldest brother. Over the next 6 years, they welcomed three more children with another tail ender 5 years later. I think my dad would best be described as a traditionalist. Separation of roles was definitely adhered to. No changing of diapers. Dad was the provider, leaving work for early each morning and returning after my brothers and sisters were fed and attended to. My mom was the nurturer and organizer, meeting our daily needs. Together, they fostered all the same characteristics that my grandparents did, but added one special ingredient: faith in action. An example of this is a story I'd like to share with you. Our parish growing up was St. Alexander in Villa Park. It was a progressive church in a turbulent 1960s. My parents were part of a church group that embraced the new theology, one that called on members of the church to take an active role. At some point, the group decided to foster a refugee family from Cuba after the Castro Revolution. Amazingly, my parents were the couple to open their home to be host family. I say amazingly because my parents were about 28 at the time, had three children under the age of four, and lived in a three-bedroom bungalow. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that discussion. I'm pretty sure my dad was the one who needed the most convincing that this would work. But they knew it was a challenge that they had to meet. Once the couple arrived, things got even more interesting. They didn't speak English, and the husband was failing emotionally. My parents handled that whole endeavor with grace and faith that God would somehow make this work, and it did. In opening their home to these people, My dad allowed a safe haven for a young couple who had no idea what the future held for them as their world had been torn apart. Over the years, my father has been a constant in my life. His compass never wavers. He's taught me much and has been a great source of friendship and advice. The best pearl of wisdom I can share with you is happiness is a state of mind. Happiness is a state of mind. When everyday life deals you challenges, we have the choice of how we react to it. Every situation gives us a choice to be happy, positive, supportive, forgiving. The power of who we want to be lies within ourselves and the choices we make, not the external forces or events or people. I could not be a father speaking to you today without the gift of my wife, Mary. She is an incredible woman, and God blessed me 1,000 times over when He brought her into my life. While I probably approach life from a slightly more cerebral aspect, the heart of our family belongs to Mary. Her sense of emotion and affection know no end. Growing up, my immediate family was not the most expressive with our love for each other. Mary brought hugs, kisses, tears of joy. Her easy way of giving hugs and kisses is tied to her simple beauty. To be around her is to be in the presence of warmth and love. Her choice of careers speaks volumes to her commitment to faith. She just retired from her second career of 15 years as a Catholic school social studies and religion teacher. She is quite literally my best friend. Next week, we celebrate 35 years together, and we cannot wait for the next chapter in our lives. We have three wonderful children together. Each of them have carried on the family tradition of putting faith into action in their own way. Our oldest son, Jeff, spent his high school and college vacation trips, not with Girls Gone Wild, but on mission trips all over the Western Hemisphere, including Haiti and Ecuador, where Father Don Kenny founded a mission house. Jeff's boundless energy and desire to experience life's adventures made him an excellent ambassador, bringing God's love to people in desperate situations. Our second son, Matt, gives one evening per week during the school year over the past 5 years on a continuing relationship to help mentor a young grade school student in the inner city. To hear the challenges this student must overcome is heartbreaking, but Matt has a talent for connecting with people. I have faith that his wisdom and counsel can truly make a difference, helping D'Anton to navigate many of the difficult challenges that lie ahead. Jeff and Matt have each married beautiful women. Mary and I are deeply happy and proud of Becky and Caitlin, our daughter-in-laws. We could have not asked for better mates for our sons. I wish I had more time to talk about each of them. They are all remarkable people, and I've learned to lean on them in tough times and listen to their very astute opinions. Our third daughter is Maggie. I think I'm most moved by her commitment to faith and action. Almost 3 years ago, she was in college in downtown Chicago. She had a part-time job and was working toward her degree. She had an apartment with close friends and was living the city life. Life was good. One Tuesday night around 9 p.m., she turned up at our door with her brother and Becky in tow. Mary and I were immediately convinced that we were being told Jeff and Becky were expecting our first grandchild. We were to be grandparents, but Maggie was the mother-to-be. In that moment, all of our lives seemed to turn upside down. There were tears and questions and hugs. The enormity of the situation unfolded as we spoke more. There would be no father in the picture, so Maggie was facing this all alone. In the following weeks, we all spent some time doing research, reflection, and prayer over what the next steps would be. But Maggie still had an enormous decision to make. Could she raise this child by herself? Could she be mother and father? providing all the love and care that would be required. Even if she could, what would that mean for all the hopes and dreams we all shared for her life? Would it be best for her to give up a baby to adoption, to be raised by another couple who could better provide? Being our daughter through adoption, Maggie was in a unique position to fully comprehend the choices before her. In our alone time, Mary and I cried many times, knowing just how difficult a spot Maggie was in. If she kept the baby, she had a perilous road ahead, full of difficult challenges that we were also tied to. If she gave up the baby for adoption, it could leave an emotional scar in her heart that could be irreparable, and the thought of us never seeing our granddaughter again was devastating. My role in the family has always been the I'll figure this out guy, but this was something I couldn't fix. Maggie had to search her soul and choose this path for herself. In the end, Maggie chose to keep her baby. It's not easy for her. She's moved back home, found a new part-time job that covers her daycare expenses, continued her studies on a full-time basis, and added full-time parent to her resume. She hopes to finish her degree in a year. She's a very good parent to Vanessa, our granddaughter, giving her the attention and love that she needs. It's times like these that my father's advice again comes in handy. A long time ago, he told me, "You can't take responsibility for the challenges or choices that your children face, just as you can't take credit for the wonderful people they are. They are who they are." Our job as parents is to love and accept our children as the gifts from God that they are and support them when we can. I must say, though, how proud we are of Maggie, the rest of our family, and our St. Thomas family, who've all embraced Maggie and Vanessa. Maggie had a choice, and she said yes. She literally chose life. We live in a throwaway society that would easily have accepted another choice. Had she ended her pregnancy or given up her daughter, we would never have known our granddaughter. Mary and I can honestly say how blessed we are by not one, but two incredible granddaughters, as Jeff and Becky joined the ranks of parenthood 9 months ago with the birth of our second granddaughter, Kennedy. The amount of joy that Vanessa and Kennedy bring into our lives is indescribable. The readings today speak of how we are to have faith. God's kingdom can only be brought forth by our commitment to his love. St. Paul says we must walk by faith and not by sight. The gospel reading talks of the smallest of all seeds on the earth that once sown becomes the largest plant. Our faith in God is that seed. But that seed must be tended to if it's to produce the fruits of God's love for us. Teresa of Avila years ago said, "God has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses the world." In preparing for this talk in contemplation, I felt God speaking through some quiet music that was playing in the background. The lyrics were, "His promise lives within you now." It is that promise of the new covenant that we celebrate each week here at this altar. It is that seed of faith that flourishes when we say yes. It is that mustard seed that grows to provide shade and protection when we put faith into action. On this Father's Day weekend, I have been blessed to be surrounded by exceptional people who have said yes to putting faith into action. People like Ron and Jean and Mary and Jeff and Matt and above all Maggie show me that remarkable things are possible when we say yes to God's love.